1 Corinthians 11, and we'll just be reading verses 23 through 26. And our theme for this evening will be remembering Christ in his supper. So again, let's give our careful attention to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Twice in that short passage, we are told to observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Christ. It is a command that comes from Christ himself. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And in that commandment from our Lord, we have one of the central meanings of the sacrament. The Lord's Supper, this table that we come to, is about remembrance of Christ. And we all are no doubt very familiar with those words. Many of us grew up in churches where those words are inscribed on a table that are in view of everyone. "Do this in remembrance of me." But what does it mean to remember Christ in his supper? We hear it every time we come to his table, but what does it mean to do this in remembrance of him? In other words, are we just calling Jesus to mind? Are we being careful not to forget him? And for example, we often talk this way. We'll say things like, "Don't forget to lock the door." And we might say that another way. We might say, "Remember to lock the door." We use those phrases interchangeably because very often in our minds, remembering is simply the opposite of forgetting. But this is not what it means to remember Christ in the supper. When we look at the idea of biblical remembrance, we find something that is much richer and much deeper than just calling something to mind. Remembrance in the Lord's Supper is so much more than just trying not to forget Jesus. As we will see, biblical remembrance is an act of worship. In the Bible, remembrance is not just about not forgetting past realities, but it is about a present relationship. And so our goal this evening will be to briefly examine four different facets of biblical remembrance that will help us to understand what it means to remember Christ in his supper. You have an outline on the back of your bulletin if you would find that helpful, and you'll see that, first of all, remembrance in the Lord's Supper involves turning to Christ in faith and for faith. In Psalm 22, verse 27, we come upon this theme of remembrance, and it's given substance. That verse says, Psalm 22, 27, "All ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all families of the nation shall worship before you." And here what we have is a parallelism which we see very often in the Psalms, where two different statements are made, parallel statements, that are two different ways of saying the same thing. And here, and this is your first set of blanks if you're filling them in, here we see that remembering the Lord is equated with turning to God and worshiping Him. Remembrance is about turning to God and worshiping Him. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all families of the nations shall worship before You. And so when we remember Christ at His table, we are turning to Him and worshiping Him. And so remembrance, far from just being not forgetting something, is an act of worship. We see this theme of remembrance also in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 2:8. And here Paul gives a command to remember something. He writes, "Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to My gospel." And so there again is a call to remember, and this is your second set of blanks. Here, remembrance is equated with faith. It's not stated explicitly there, but there Paul is calling us to remember, and he is presenting to us the object of true faith: the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving work. And so when we come to the table in remembrance of Christ, we are remembering that He is our Savior, that He lived in perfect obedience to God's law, that He died for our sins, that He raised from the dead. That is what we must remember. And by remember, Paul means that we must embrace that truth by faith. We're not just calling it to mind, but we're believing it, we're trusting it. And so as we come to the Lord's table, and we do it in remembrance, we are turning to Christ both in faith and for greater faith. In faith, we approach the Lord's table remembering Christ, and we receive and we rest upon Him. By faith, we're looking past the mere symbols to the realities of the gospel. And we're trusting in Christ, and we're trusting in His promises. But we also approach the table for greater faith. No matter where we are in our walk with Christ, our faith is not what it should be. We are all people who are of little faith. Our faith is weak and it needs strengthened. And so our posture toward Christ as we approach His table should be that of the man in Mark 9:24 who came to Jesus and cried out to Him, "I believe, help my unbelief." That should be our cry. We do believe, and yet we know that we need to grow in our faith. And so we cry out to Christ, "I do believe, but help my unbelief." And the Lord sets His seal on this sacrament, on this means of grace, that we can be sure that it is a place where our Savior, by His Spirit, draws near to us and strengthens us and builds us up. And so when you approach the table this evening and you remember Christ, you are trusting Him. And yet at the same time, you are acknowledging that your faith is weak. And so when you come to the table this evening, look to Christ. Remember Him. Look to the One who can give you greater faith. Look to the one who can help your unbelief. Secondly, remembering Christ in the supper involves proclaiming Him. We see this in 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And that brings us right away to the first set of blanks there. This means that remembering Christ in the Lord's Supper involves a proclamation of Christ and His saving work. It involves a proclamation of the gospel. A proclamation is an announcement. It is a declaration of something. And so we are very much, in a real way, preaching the gospel in this supper. And that phrase that we see in verse 26, the Lord's death, it's a phrase that summarizes all of Christ's saving work. It encapsulates the gospel. And so by remembering Christ's death, we are remembering all that He has done. His life, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, and His ongoing work for us. And as we remember those things, we proclaim them. And we proclaim Christ in the supper in three different ways. First of all, when we come to His table, we proclaim the Lord's death, we proclaim, serves as a means to help us do just that. To proclaim the gospel to our own souls, to proclaim the gospel to ourselves. In addition, when we partake together, we also proclaim Christ to each other within the body. It's a reminder that we are not a group of individuals, but rather we are a people that have been bought with Christ's own blood. We are a body. We are a unit of believers for whom Christ gave His life. And just as ordinary meals bring families together, so this meal brings us together as a family, reminding us that we are a people who are bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. And finally, and we may not often think of it this way, but in the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming Christ to the world. The wicked, unbelieving world has been actively and tirelessly trying to forget Jesus Christ. It has been a tireless effort of the unbelieving world for over 2,000 years. And what we have in the Lord's Supper is a quiet and perpetual reminder of the cross of Jesus Christ. His gospel is displayed to the world in the sacrament. And it will remain a reminder to the wicked world of Christ and His work until He comes again. Thirdly, we see also that remembering Christ in His supper involves embracing Him as your covenant representative. In 1 Corinthians 11:25, we see the idea of remembrance linked with the new covenant. In the same way also He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood." Christ called the cup the new covenant in His blood. And so the Lord's Supper is a vivid symbol of the covenant of grace. And this brings us to your blanks there. So as we approach the Lord's table, we need to recognize that remembrance is a covenant matter. It's a covenant matter. Remembering Christ at His table means embracing Him as our covenant representative. In other words, taking hold of the one who did what you could not do. Taking hold of the one who is the atoning sacrifice for your sins. Taking hold of the one who possesses the righteousness that you lack. Taking hold of the one in whom every spiritual blessing is found. And that is why Christ commands us in this meal to take and eat and take and drink. Those actions symbolize our need to fully and completely receive and rest upon Jesus Christ. They symbolize our need to embrace Him. And our embracing of Christ at the table should naturally drive us out of ourselves. Embracing Christ, or by embracing Christ, we are saying, I have nothing of my own to offer you. I am a spiritual beggar, and we look to Christ and we embrace Him. That brings us to the next point, the next set of blanks. That each time we come to the Lord's table, Jesus renews His covenant with you. He renews His covenant with you in the supper. We sang it in that opening psalm. We'll sing it again in our closing psalm. God promises so often that He will never forget His covenant with us. And what we have in the Lord's Supper is a visual reminder of that truth. Christ is coming to us at His table and reaffirming His commitment to us. He's assuring us of His forgiveness and His love. And so when Christ comes to you this evening by His earthly representatives, by His ministers, and He gives you that bread and He gives you that wine, it should be a vivid reminder to you that Christ never forgets His covenant with you. And when you taste the bread and taste that wine, you remember Christ. You embrace Him as your covenant representative. We are called to examine ourselves as we come to the table. And when we do that, we are again and again confronted with our sin and our failures. And our only response to being confronted with our sin and our failures is to turn and embrace Christ. And we can be assured that He is not a Savior who is harsh and unloving, but rather He is gentle and kind and patient. And He wants us to come to Him and embrace Him that we might receive from Him grace upon grace. Finally, we see that remembering Christ in His supper involves obeying Him. In Psalm 119, verse 55, and we'll sing a portion of that psalm in a moment, we find another one of those parallelisms that helps us define what remembering is. The psalmist writes, I remember Your name in the night, O Lord, and keep Your law. Here we see remembering linked with obedience. Remembering the Lord's name in the night is equated with keeping His law. And so we see that biblical remembrance also involves obedience to the Lord. We see the same idea in the fourth commandment. We are called to remember the Sabbath day. And when we remember the Sabbath day, we're doing much more than just calling it to mind. There is an action involved. We are called to keep the day holy, to set it aside. And so remembering involves listening to God and obeying His commandments. That brings us to the last set of blanks there. This means that when we observe the Lord's Supper and we do it in remembrance of Christ, our remembrance is a renewal of our pledge to listen to and to obey Christ. Our remembrance is a renewal. It's a renewal of a pledge to obedience. By taking and eating and taking and drinking, we are pledging to listen to our Savior and to obey Him. But as we come to the Lord's table making this pledge, we must at the same time acknowledge our inability to fulfill that pledge without the grace of Christ and without the work of His Spirit. And so we come pledging our obedience, but at the same time we are brought back full circle to Christ. In other words, as we make that pledge for obedience, we must at the same time turn to Him in faith and for greater faith. As we pledge our obedience, we need to be proclaiming Christ, proclaiming the gospel to ourselves, so that our obedience is not some feeble attempt to earn His favor, but that it flows from a heart of love and gratitude. And as we pledge our obedience, we know that we're going to fall short, and so we turn and we embrace Him as our covenant representative. We embrace Him as the one who cleanses us from our disobedience. We embrace the one who in our place obeyed perfectly in thought, word, and deed. Now, every one of us has some significant need this evening. Every one of us is struggling with something. Our faith might be being tested. You might be fighting discouragement and despair. We're all struggling against sin and temptation. We know that our love for Christ is not what it should be. We know that our love for one another is not what it should be. And whatever your struggle is this evening, the answer is Christ. What we all need is more of Him. And at His table, Christ stands ready to give you more of Himself. And so as you come to His table, do it in remembrance of Him. Come turning to Him in faith. Come turning to Him expectantly, expecting Him to grant you greater faith. Come proclaiming Him, proclaiming His gospel. Come empty-handed and embrace Him as your covenant representative. And come in the power of the Spirit, pledging to listen to and to obey Him. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the great work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You that He did what we could have never done. That He was our substitute. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He was the Lord and is the Lord, our righteousness. We thank You for the work of Your Spirit. We thank You that He works through these means of grace to help us in our struggle against sin. to grant us greater faith, to lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we remember Christ at his table this evening, we pray for your Spirit's enabling, or that we might come with the eyes of faith, seeing Christ, affirming his love for us, renewing his covenant with us, assuring us that he will never leave us or forsake us. And so we thank you and we praise you. In the name of Christ, amen.